Welcome back from walking. So I don't know, those of you who were here yesterday, how many of you saw the huge barn owl that was outside in a tree? And I just heard that there's two other owls nearby right now to be seen outside, as well as several deer. And I feel that's really auspicious. The Buddha taught that there are two wings that we fly on to awaken to freedom, to know deep freedom. And they are wisdom and compassion. And so it's really beautiful to me that the owls and the deer are right nearby. The owls, a symbol of wisdom. The deer, who are so gentle and just only eat greens, a symbol of compassion. Let's fly to freedom. So I want to talk with you about compassion. We've been, yesterday we were talking a lot about impermanence. And it's true that, you know, the more we drop into the present, the more we see that things change. And it's also true that sometimes with that insight of impermanence, we can let things go more easily and the heart can know greater and greater levels of peace. Well, that's the wisdom wing. But just with that one wing, we will hobble. We will not find our way to freedom. With loss comes grief. And we all encounter loss. We need the other wing. We need a lot of kindness and compassion for ourselves and others. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems conceit, bad manners, or cynicism is always a sign of things no ears have heard, no eyes have seen. You do not know what wars are going on down there where the spirit meets the bone. Unfortunately, it's anonymous. I wrote it on a piece of paper, and I don't have a name on it. And I Googled it and couldn't find it. So it may not be anonymous. I don't even know how many years ago I wrote this down. But at the moment, it's anonymous. Thich Nhat Hanh teaches that it's really important to stay in touch with suffering, our own and others. This is another spiritual warrior thing where we're conditioned to stay away from it, to buffer ourselves from it. It's important to stay in touch with it in order to be responding realistically and kindly to the world, in order to help lessen it rather than increase it with our denial. Thich Nhat Hanh, do not avoid contact with suffering or close your eyes before suffering. Do not lose awareness of the existence of suffering in the life of the world. Find ways to be with those who are suffering by all means including personal contact and visit, images, sound. By such means, awaken yourself and others to the reality of suffering in the world. With heart, the word compassion literally translates as suffering with, and I think that more means having the heart that vibrates with or feels open to the reality. So at once we're holding the understanding that all things are impermanent. They arise and they pass away. And we're also holding the capacity to stay with the suffering of the world as a way to bring in more kindness. And you know, a lot of times the suffering of the world, we find it in our own heart. Not only out there. This is Naomi Shihab Nye. Before you know what kindness really is, you must lose things. Feel the future dissolve in a moment, like salt in a weakened broth. What you held in your hand, what you counted and carefully saved. All this must go, so you know how desolate the landscape can be between the regions of kindness. How you ride and ride, thinking the bus will never stop. The passengers eating maize and chicken will stare out the window forever. Before you learn the tender gravity of kindness, you must travel where the Indian in a white poncho lies dead by the side of the road. You must see how this could be you, how he too was someone who journeyed through the night with plans and the simple breath that kept him alive. Before you know kindness as the deepest thing inside, you must know sorrow as the other deepest thing. You must wake up with sorrow. You must speak to it till your voice catches the thread of all sorrows and you see the size of the cloth. Then it is only kindness that makes sense anymore. Only kindness that ties your shoes and sends you out into the day to mail letters and purchase bread. Only kindness that raises its head from the crowd of the world to say, "It is I you have been looking for," and then goes with you everywhere, like a shadow or a friend. It's a strange thing that we're conditioned, some of us, some of the time, to think of kindness as weak. Because actually, it's the most courageous thing we can do. Stay with our true vulnerability and the vulnerability of others. Remain in presence. If home is the present moment, and we drop in and we bring what's needed to our home. Awareness, loving kindness, gratitude, and compassion. And what's so fabulous about this, what's so crazy about this, is that not only is it just a kind way to be in our lives, but it's also the path to freedom. The Buddha said there's two ways to be selfish. One is the foolish way, where you just are cruel and grab things for yourself. And the other is the wise way to be selfish, which is to be kind to everyone you meet and generous with everyone you meet. And why is that the wise way to be selfish? Because it leads you to freedom. It's not like we have to become a martyr or a doormat in order to help this sorrowful world. It's like we become kind because it helps the world and because it helps us. He says that we are not capable of insight if our minds and bodies are filled with deceit, greed, hate, and delusion. What calms the mind and heart is kindness. The most fundamental teaching in Buddhism is known as the Four Noble Truths. My teacher, Gil Fronsdal, said that if someone asked him, describe Buddhism in a nutshell, out of all the teachings, he would simply name the Four Noble Truths. And the Four Noble Truths are, number one, the acknowledgement that there is suffering in this life. For everybody. There's no get out of jail free pass for anyone. There is suffering. Truth number one. Truth number two is usually translated as the cause of suffering is clinging. And that's true in the sense of the idea of clinging to a sense of things should be good and they're not, and that clinging itself causes suffering. But another translation is that the cause of suffering is ignorance. Simply not knowing, and it's not our fault, simply not knowing that through the cultivation of mindfulness of present moment and kindness, we could have so much more ease and bring so much more ease to others. Third Noble Truth, there is a way. There is a way to end suffering. The Buddha said, if this path did not lead to freedom, I wouldn't teach it. And then the fourth noble truth, and this is what I want to focus on while I'm talking about compassion, is the Eightfold Noble Path. And when you look at those 8 points on the Eightfold Noble Path, they all basically point to two things. Bring awareness into the present moment and be kind. That's it. There's wise understanding, which we get from dropping into the moment. We see, things come and go. Another thing that we see in wise understanding is that the law of cause and effect of karma, that our actions have consequences. Wise intention. The intention to move forward into helping to end suffering for ourselves and others. And then what does that look like? Wise speech, wise action, and wise livelihood. It's so beautiful. Speak with kindness, act with kindness, work with kindness. So the first two, wise understanding and wise intention. The next three, speech, action, and livelihood. Make sure you're coming from a place of goodness in those things. And can I just add here that that's not always easy, especially with speech. It could take extra practice. But it's a worthy, worthy goal. And then the last three are wise effort, wise concentration, and wise mindfulness. Effort. Okay, so we have habits that we've developed that don't serve us or others. And so going ahead and noticing those and making the effort to change them. neuroplasticity, if I have a habit of judging myself really fiercely, make the wise effort to bring mindfulness to the self-critical mind and release myself from its power. Wise effort, cultivating skillful mind habits. Wise concentration, cultivating a steady focus, ease-filled mind. I'm quoting Sylvia Boorstein here. The more we do this mindfulness practice, the more continuity there is. The less the mind wanders, the more we're able to stay with the rise and fall of breath. And as I mentioned yesterday, there's a whole beautiful thing that can happen with that, where you go into different jhanas, different bliss states, and it's all really cool. But the other thing that's happening that, to me, in my practice is equally cool, if not maybe more cool, is that I have more and more mindfulness available to me as I walk through daily life. I can see. I can feel. I'm not in the trance grip of habit. Then wise mindfulness, which is what we're practicing. It's so simple. It's like just what we're doing. The Buddha taught this is the path to the end of suffering. But what it means is the kindness, like from the Naomi Shihab Nye poem, means that when we do encounter suffering, we bring our mindfulness and our presence into the home of the present moment. Staying with. So when we're in situations, we're dropping into a moment where there's suffering and the habit of contraction comes, withdrawal of blame of ourselves and others, of addiction, minimizing, all the different things the mind does to step away from pain. The directions are, there's two directions. One is simply see if you can just, you're not trying to change anything, see if you can just notice your breath for a minute. This is In the Absence of Kindness by Fran Carbonaro. In the absence of kindness, take one deep breath and then let it go. Let it go into the heat of confusion or an echoless emptiness where it may be swallowed up like a dove in a black hole. Listen as your breath coos gently in the dark. The next breath may disorient you. That's a good sign. Go ahead. Lose your way. Your point. Your imitation. Your imitation of someone you don't even recognize now. You've made a U-turn, and like a boomerang being struck by lightning, random acts of kindness now seem as natural as being breathed into self. That one who has forgiven any part of the whole that might have believed you are not enough. No, we're not perfect, but we're always enough. We're always enough to come back into the present. Bring a breath, bring awareness, and bring kindness. There's a teacher named Kristen Neff. She's a psychologist who's written a book called Self-Compassion. And it has some really beautiful ideas and practices in it. And I'm going to share one with you that I use. And so I can recommend from direct experience. So when you encounter a moment of suffering, if you can, in the moment, if it's possible, depending on what's happening, put your hand on your heart. This releases oxytocin, which is the chemical, it's a feel-good chemical in the body. And then we simply think or say to ourselves, this is a moment of suffering. There is suffering in this world. And that the purpose of that phrase is to remind yourself that it's ubiquitous, it's all of us, we're all in this. So this is a moment of suffering. There is suffering in this world. May I hold myself in compassion. In the holding ourselves in compassion, we're immediately holding the entire moment that we're in compassion. And we have more options for how we respond. When I notice that I'm suffering and I bring compassion to myself, I have more capacity to bring compassion to the people around me. In your sheet, there is a song, I Am Sending You Light. Number 13. This song was written by my friend Melanie DeMore. She's another music teacher in Oakland, California. And she wrote it for her sister, as her sister was dying. And now this song is sung all over the world. There is a group called the Threshold Choir, which it started as a group of women in Northern California, and now it's groups of women all over the world who get together on a volunteer basis and learn songs that they sing at the bedsides of the dying, the Threshold Choir. My mom leads one of those in Sonoma County in California. And this song is one of the songs that the Threshold Choir sings. It's again about the power of intention, like we did yesterday with loving kindness, and bringing in that intention to surround our own hearts, moments of suffering, and the hearts and lives of others with kindness. And really, that's all it is. It's simply surrounding. It's not any more than that. It's not asking anything to change. When a baby is crying, it's not skillful to order the baby to stop crying. What's skillful is to hold the baby. And that's what compassion is simply bringing that energy of nurturing, holding around our own hearts, around a moment, and around the hearts of others. That's all it is. A loving holding of what is. So, well, as we begin this song, you can notice what's happening for yourself and also think of others. And we just sing this for a little while over and over and intend it out. Intend it in to yourself, intend it out, and intend it out to anyone, anywhere, known or unknown, that may need it. This is a form of compassion practice. I am sending you